Okay, perhaps you could move to take your seats, people, so that we can start this afternoon session. I'd like to start this session in 1 minute, please. So, welcome back, everybody, after lunch. My name is Sue Owen. I'm the Permanent Secretary of the Department for Culture, Media and Sport here in the UK. I'm going to chair this session while Ed Vasey has been called away for some parliamentary business, but I can assure you he's coming back the minute that that's over in an hour or an hour and a half. So you won't have to put up with me for the rest of the day. I'd like to hand over the lead now to Heather, the chair of the Governmental Advisory Committee, the GAC, so she can describe the role of governments in the ICANN multi-stakeholder model, and in particular how the GAC contributes to ICANN's policy development processes, with a quick look back over the last 4 years under her chairmanship and a look forward for strengthening the GAC as the membership now reaches close to 140 governments and designated territories, as well as the intergovernmental organisations which have elected to be observers of the GAC, some of which I'm pleased to see are represented at our meeting today. So, Heather, over to you.
Many thanks for that introduction. I would like to start this afternoon by talking a bit about ICANN's Governmental Advisory Committee, or as we call it, the GAC. It is an organization I have had the privilege of chairing for the past 4 years. And I think a good starting point is what others think about the GAC, or at least what they are saying. In the picture of Dorian Gray, Oscar Wilde said that there is only one thing in the world worse than being talked about, and that is not being talked about. As you may have gathered by now, there is no danger of that with ICANN for the foreseeable future. And just as there is no shortage of people with opinions about ICANN, there is now a lot more focus than there used to be on the role and operations of the GAC. The commentary in the ICANN community does seem to have moved from the GAC does not have enough influence to perhaps the GAC has too much influence. This could be seen as progress from the point of view of many in the GAC. But I do want to talk today about how the GAC operates and what it has achieved. There is a positive and constructive story to tell. In doing so, I also want to talk more generally about the role of governments in the ICANN model. ICANN engages with governments and intergovernmental bodies in many ways, including through the GAC, and it does so for good reasons. I also want to provide some thoughts on why ICANN needs a GAC and also why governments need a GAC. There are reasons for both. So in terms of the role of governments within the ICANN model, it goes back to the formation of ICANN in 1998, when a number of governments cautiously supported the model. I'm not going to suggest that governments at that time had a firm understanding of the domain name system, but many did recognize that the infrastructure of the internet was evolving, that its standards and administration were being built from the bottom up and not the top down, and that a new type of global coordination body was at least worth trying. ICANN has engaged directly with governments from the earliest days on issues such as delegation and redelegation of country code top-level domains, or ccTLDs. Some of these were originally administered by government authorities, some by technical bodies or individuals, and some by private commercial interests, which at times can be described as colorful arrangements. ICANN has worked through these issues with national governments and local internet communities, and today we have a strong supporting organization within the ICANN framework known as the Country Code Names Supporting Organization, or the CCNSO. One way in which this cooperation is demonstrated between the Governmental Advisory Committee and the CCNSO is through identifying a principles-based framework for the issue of delegation and redelegation of country codes. I will talk more about the specifics of the GAC shortly, but note that it has a broad remit to advise on ICANN on public policy aspects within ICANN's responsibilities. Today, governments and intergovernmental organizations play a key role in the ICANN model on several levels, the main channel of involvement being through the collective and coordinated involvement of governments via the GAC, but also increasingly through specialized groupings where we see law enforcement agencies wanting to take particular interest in matters within ICANN's purview. So why does ICANN need the GAC? Indeed, why do the ICANN bylaws specifically require the existence of a governmental advisory committee? The main reason is that ICANN sees the importance of getting public policy perspectives on its activities. And in the real world, this means the way that governments see them, for better or for worse. There are also issues at a practical working level. I think that ICANN is coming to realize that it gets considerable benefit from engaging with specialist working level officials in the GAC who are familiar with domain name system issues. Another set of eyes cast over complex issues such as safeguards for new GTLDs can only help, especially when extensive policy and regulatory experience is being drawn upon. Finally, the GAC adds real value to ICANN's work by helping ICANN in being proactive on public policy issues. This means early stage identification of such issues rather than just reacting at later stages. This is still a work in progress, but it is in progress. So why do governments and IGOs need the GAC? The most obvious reason is to have a common voice that is heard directly by the ICANN board. That direct link to the board is strengthened by the bylaws, which require GAC advice to be duly taken into account, and if the board does not proceed with it, for reasons to be explained publicly, and efforts made to reconcile differences. The GAC also gives governments access to policymaking processes in other areas of the ICANN community, This includes the generic name supporting organization, with whom the GAC is working on formal information sharing structures, and the country code name supporting organization, which I already mentioned, where there has been a history of successful working together. Both governments and ICANN have a common interest in early stage identification of public policy issues. And no one wants issues to develop through reaction and misunderstanding late in the process. And recent experiences tell me that this is something that is very much at the crux of making the model work here at ICANN in working with governments. The GAC provides the best mechanism for governments and ICANN to be proactive and work cooperatively to develop the best quality outcomes that address the needs of all stakeholders. It is flexible, transparent, and a resource for ICANN and governments alike. So how does the GAC go about its business? Well, you can come and see for yourself when in London, as meetings are open to all, apart from the finalization of what we call the GAC communique, which is the negotiated document that we generate at each of our meetings. GAC membership is open to national governments and distinct economies recognized in international forums, and usually in an observer capacity, multinational governmental and treaty organizations and public authorities. There are currently 141 GAC members and 31 observers. We are growing. Membership is always open, and joining requires minimal formalities. Most GAC business is done at face-to-face meetings, and these are held in conjunction with ICANN meetings 3 times a year. Work is also done intersessionally, much of it through working groups. And there are currently a few of these underway in the GAC. For the purpose of its advice to ICANN, the GAC operates on the basis of consensus, and this is really the GAC's main strength. And this advice is usually issued by the GAC in the form of the communique that I just mentioned. The GAC receives administrative support from ICANN staff and full-time secretariat support from a contracted firm, the Australian Continuous Improvement Group. And this engagement of ACIG reflects the wish of the GAC to have a degree of independence in its work from ICANN. The GAC has supported this engagement through the financial support of several GAC member countries. In terms of what the GAC has achieved over the last 15 years of its experience, there's quite a list. I will mention a few of these achievements here. So I mentioned the CC, country code top level domain delegation principles, and I think associated with that were the introduction of non-Latin script or internationalized domain names in the form of country codes, which was a major development for many governments. In terms of new generic top-level domain safeguards, the current program underway at ICANN is broad, contains many issues, and in relation to that, the Governmental Advisory Committee was given a very particular role to play, to comment on the program, the rules, and sensitive top-level domains part and parcel with that. So ICANN accepted the GAC's advice on safeguards for the program for these top-level domains, and these included consumer protection issues, law enforcement considerations, and the need to support community-based applications and those from developing countries and regions. This advice has emphasized the public interest rather than just commercial interests. In addition, I mentioned other advice that we can give, and this has happened over the past 4 meetings where the GAC has addressed concerns regarding a certain set of strings that have been proposed as part of the program, and this includes names with geographic, cultural, and religious significance. The board has generally responded positively and constructively to the advice that has been given by the GAC. In terms of outreach and capacity building, We have an opportunity in the GAC to receive briefings about matters related to ICANN. And we've had support available to us from ICANN in the form of travel funding for developing countries and interpretation and translation. And these have all enabled us to increase the membership of the GAC and still be effective in our work. In terms of the approach to accountability and transparency, this is another area where the GAC has really had a lot to contribute and a great deal of experience to contribute to these matters at ICANN. And we have heard today already that this continues to be a main thrust for governments in relation to ICANN. So for the future, well, ICANN is evolving, and the GAC must evolve with it, not away from it. The current round of debates about internet governance clearly involves much more than just ICANN's functions. However, ICANN is very much a key player in these debates, and indeed it should be. And so GAC's role within this current climate is doubly crucial. The GAC provides governments with a seat at the very table where governments are best able to influence matters related to the internet's technical functions. For example, the other internet technical organizations do not have a governmental advisory committee, and so this provides a really good focal point for governments to engage with these matters. The GAC is currently considering how it will be involved in the two related issues of developing a proposal to transition the U.S. government's IANA stewardship function and enhancing ICANN accountability. I can say that members in the GAC are interested, motivated, and ready to bring the views of their governments to bear on these issues. However, while the GAC has an excellent record of achievement and a busy current agenda, the future cannot be taken for granted. Let me sound a cautionary note. There are some possible future scenarios that would be counterproductive. One possibility is that the GAC becomes more distant from ICANN, not involving itself in processes across the organization, and becoming more inwardly focused. Over time, the GAC has become more and more relevant to ICANN, not less. That closeness is leading to genuinely positive public policy outcomes and is to be fostered, not squandered. That means hard work for GAC members and our support staff in putting time and effort into engaging with things that are happening generally in the community. Another possibility is that the GAC becomes more like an intergovernmental setting, and this will exert a certain pressure on a model like this that needs to remain responsive to developments and move at a quick pace. And really, the GAC, as it grows and needs more time to achieve consensus and influence these processes, has a particular challenge in remaining effective within this framework because of those pressures. I think the best possible way forward is one that keeps the GAC's core competencies and its best operational features intact, so not changing the fundamentals. And that continues, and that the GAC would continue as an active and influential voice within the ICANN framework as a result. Thank you.
So thank you very much, Heather. It's clearly an important time for the GAC as it implements a range of improvements in its working methods following the two accountability and transparency reviews. Now, I've got a lot of speakers on my list who I'd like to call to speak. I've got at least 10 so far. We've got a maximum of 30 minutes. So in the interest of fairness to everyone, if you could keep your remarks brief, just 1 or 2 minutes. So first I'd like to invite from Spain, Victor Calvo Sotelo, Secretary of State for Telecommunications.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon. I would like to start congratulations to the UK and to our chair and to Advaiti for the efficient conduction of the meeting. Spain fully supports the multi-stakeholder model and welcomes ICANN's process of globalization. we would actively participate in this process, both as a country and also in coordination with other European Union countries under the leadership of Commissioner Neelie Kroes. We will support also adequate reform of the GAC to improve its functioning, effectiveness, and interaction with the multi-stakeholders community. We would like to highlight the need for improvement in internal working methods and in GAC's relationship with ICANN structures. And to this end, Spain has been leading the GAC working group on working methods, whose recommendations are subject to approval in this meeting. We would also like to see a reinforced presence of the GAC in the coordination group in the future. I would say that an example of procedures that have not been able to resolve important issues for several countries is the Dodd Wine controversy that we have been talking about today. I'm fully confident that we will reach a consensus this week on this very important issue, a consensus that will give us enough time to face with confidence the challenges that face us. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And now Jose Sanchez, who's Director of Telecommunications and Broadcasting Policy in Mexico. So, are you here?
Good afternoon. Yeah. Good afternoon. I'm speaking on behalf of Undersecretary Ignacio Peralta Sanchez. I'm Victor Lagunes, CIO of the Office of the President. Mexico, considering the key importance of government engagement with all relevant stakeholders, including civil society, private sector, technical community, and academia, in protecting and promoting human rights and fundamental freedoms online, recognizes the global and open nature of the Internet as a driving force in accelerating progress towards development in its various forms, affirms that the same rights that people have offline must also be protected online, in particular freedom of expression, which is applicable regardless of frontiers and through any media of one's choice, in accordance with Articles 19 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights. Recognition of the Internet as a unique resource, comprehensive and unfragmented. Human rights as a guiding principle of the public policy and Internet governance. Strengthen Internet governance principles and promote dialogue at a regional and national levels with multiple stakeholders. Promote collaboration schemes from the National Digital Strategy. We recognize IGF as a unique setting for the discussion of issues related to the Internet, that the result of IGF generate recommendations and optional application that can be applied in other forms and scenarios. Identify potential conflicts of jurisdiction applicable law around the Internet and promote international cooperation. We recognize important building on Global Internet Policy Observatory, GIPO 2014, as stated by the European Union, stressing the importance of regional strengthening due to a better dimension of socioeconomic characteristics and for the cultural identity of the people. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. And now, Nuno Crato, Minister of Education and Science in Portugal. Okay, so the next on my list is Dr. Ali Abbasov, the Azerbaijan Minister of Communications and Information Technology.
Yes. Madam Chairperson, Ministers, distinguished participants, it is a pleasure and responsibility to participate at ICANN 50 high-level government meeting today. For the last couple of years, ICANN became globally more visible because of its involvement, transparency, and publicity. With leadership of ICANN and the global spirit of collaboration, we witness certain reforms today in internet governance, at least attempt to reforms. In this regard, we highly appreciate the recent decision made by the NTIA for transition key internet domain name functions to the global multi-stakeholder model, policymaking and governance. We believe that the appropriate transition plan will be successfully concluded by September next year, and upcoming IGF meeting in Istanbul will facilitate this process. We also think European Union's internet governance principles can be taken for consideration during these discussions. We also appreciate the recent Net Mundial multi-stakeholder statement on principles and the roadmap for the future evolution of the internet governance. As you may remember, Azerbaijan hosted the IGF meeting in 2012, and we have been taking active role in WSIS process as well since 2003. With these, we are trying to contribute to the ongoing process and consider the dialogue as the best platform for achieving tangible results. I find worthy to mention GAC's role in this process and under new conditions, increasing GAC's involvement in the transition process. In this regard, GAC's Singapore meeting should be appreciated because during this meeting, a wide range of issues were discussed and recommendations were adopted. I also propose increasing 2 seats allocated to GAC in the coordination group for INA transition. However, the representation of GAC in the coordination group is important. Also, it would be appropriate to consider the candidate of ITU into the group. In this case, necessary conditions for multi-stakeholder participation and protection of their interests will be created. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much. And now I'd like to call on Mr. Jagiolo, Director of Information Security from Indonesia.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good afternoon for all. It is our common understanding that currently, the internet global governance should be restructured. Latest discussion in ICANN 49 conference in Singapore and during the Net Mundial in Brazil shows that it is important for the international community to intensify discussion on various issues regarding internet governance. In addition, it is inevitable that internet governance restructuring process needs to be supported by governments. In this context, Indonesia appreciates the initiative of the UK government to host this second high-level GAC meeting today. First, it has to be noted that the new horizon of internet has been introduced following the development of deliberation of internet addresses, such as the introduction of .anything as GTLD or .anything for all CCTLDs and many other new developments. While this new initiative have developed further the internet, this development have also triggered some intensive discussion between GAC members as well as between GAC and other ICANN committees. In this regard, that ICANN and GAC should be strengthened in order to quickly solve similar problems in the future. Secondly, it is necessary to have a common understanding among all countries of all internet stakeholders that the internet is a global connection which may allow any content to flow freely globally. Nonetheless, as the culture and tradition of countries are not the same, but there are basic universal norms that all peoples adhere to, principle of all is to respect other cultures, ethnic, race, religion, and so forth. Hence, it is crucial that all internet stakeholders must ensure that global internet should be utilized for the good of mankind, a tool to bring people and nations closer and prosper. Finally, I would like to draw our attention to the fast development of internet-related technologies, satellite broadband internet, Internet of Things, big data processing are just a few examples of these developments. On the other hand, the technological capabilities of the global stakeholders are not at the same level. Therefore, there is a need for all of us here for all of stakeholders, including the GEC, to have cooperation through capacity building, global technical cooperation, to increase technological capability of us all. I can, of course, can facilitate these needs. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And now I call on Henrik Ishihara of the Swedish Ministry of Enterprise, Energy and Communications.
Thank you very much, and thank you, UK government, for hosting this well-organized conference. Sweden understands that GAC to be a multilateral committee that is contributing in a constructive way to further public policy interests in the operations of ICAN. This is the way it should be. Governments have a weighty role for public policy. As the Tunis agenda correctly states, governments have the authority in public policy. But we also recognize that other actors have legitimate interests in public policy issues. And public policy is not the only legitimate interest in internet governance. Stakeholders in business, civil society, the internet technical communities, governments, and academic institutions make significant contributions to the development of the internet. A continued development of the internet requires that we continue to balance different interests, that no one group can veto another. But importantly, we are not simply putting in the hands of the ICANN board the responsibility to balance public policy interests to other legitimate interests. The ICANN board is obliged by the ICANN bylaws to consider public policy interests and GAC advice, and to engage with GAC when they have the difficulties with the advice they have received. Sweden is of the opinion that increased government influence at the expense of the influence of other stakeholders would be a disincentive for the innovation and entrepreneurship that is the driving force for the development of the internet. Our support for the multi-stakeholder model is rooted in our firm belief that this is the only model that will continue to generate technological development and solutions for the future and preserving the internet's open nature. This does not mean, however, that the model is perfect. We should look at how the role of governments can be better described and understood, how accountability can be improved, and how all stakeholders can deal with situations where there are remaining conflicts about a decision made. We must certainly support to continue and to improve the multi-stakeholder model. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And now I'm going to call on, I believe, a new participant from the International Committee of the Red Cross and Red Crescent, Charlotte Lindsay.
Thank you, and thank you to our hosts. I take the floor on behalf of the International Committee of the Red Cross, the ICRC, which is the guardian of international humanitarian law, which is a role assigned to the ICRC by all states and high contracting parties. I also speak on behalf of the 189 national Red Cross and Red Crescent societies and their international federation. The protections accorded to Red Cross and Red Crescent terms and associated designations have been recognized by all states in their capacity as parties to the 1949 Geneva Conventions for the protection of victims of war. In 2011, the GAC recognized the obligation that the protections of the names should extend to internet domains at the top and second levels. And despite complementary GAC advice to this end, over the last 3 years, the question of full and permanent protection in line with international law and global public interests still remains under consideration within ICANN mechanisms. We appreciate the support we have received within the GAC and the continued attention from ICANN CEO, Mr. Chahadi. We call for a full and rapid resolution of this matter, not as a policy or trademark issue, but in recognition of the legal obligations and the real harm and risks that may ensue from the misuse of the names and terms Red Cross and Red Crescent on the internet, including the diversion of public funds and donations. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you. And now I'd like to invite Helene Oud de Haag from the Dutch Ministry of Economic Affairs.
Thank you, Chair. Let me focus, due to the time, on two particular points, participation and legitimacy. The GAC's role is to channel the governmental input worldwide into the ICANN process, and there are now more than 130 members in the GAC. Nevertheless, less than half of the membership attends regularly the GAC, and only a very small part is actively participating in discussions. And okay, many good initiatives have been started to increase participation, but despite these initiatives, we have not seen a lot of changes in this pattern. So we think it's important and it's good to see that the current initiatives are promising. We see the Working Group on Working Methods has come up with an overall plan with concrete recommendations to be approved in this meeting. And we've heard from our GAC chair that we are now assured of professional secretarial support for the next 3 years. For us, the Netherlands, and for the other two financial donor countries for the GAC secretariat, this is a very gratifying moment. We've been advocates for an independent and professional secretariat since a long time, and all these efforts will bring members to a higher information level and empower them to be active participants. And there is also an external part, because the GAC needs to intensify its outreach in other fora. We need to demonstrate that the multi-stakeholder model works, and we should show it in the fora.
Thank you very much. And the next on my list is Dr. Ola Cavalli from Argentina.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On behalf of the government of Argentina, I will speak in Spanish.
Argentina would like to thank the hosts who have organized this high-level meeting within the framework of ICANN 50. Regarding the role of governments in ICANN, and in order to strengthen the debate and to set positions at the national level, Argentina has created a National Commission on Internet Policies led by the Secretariat of Communications under the umbrella of the Ministry of Federal Planning, Public Investment and Services. This commission has the role of coordinating all actions related to the Internet at the national level and to have a unified voice to all regional and international fora, including the Governmental Advisory Committee at ICANN-GAC. Argentina actively participates in GAC, and in this regard, it wants to highlight the importance that a relevant representation of the GAC will have in the coordination group as part of the IANA transition process. This representation has to reflect the interests of all countries and the regional diversity. Argentina works in ICANN and in international and regional fora to strengthen regional coordination in relevant issues such as the internet governance. In this sense, Argentina supports the multi-participatory, multi-stakeholder model, and thanks the Brazilian government for organizing the Net Mundial Conference in which it participated as a co-organizing country. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And now I'll call on Philip Metzger from Switzerland.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just briefly would like to share a few thoughts around the role of GAC and what it takes in Switzerland's view to strengthen role of the Government Advisory Committee. Obviously, the point of departure is that the GAC is here to advise ICANN about issues of global public interest, and we think this is a very tall and challenging order in a sense, because global public interest is an aggregate, ultimately, of very diverse and specific interests and needs, which are in particularly dependent on different cultural, economic, and social circumstances. And so if the GAC wants to have a lasting role, we believe that it needs to be strengthened in terms of its capability to identify and to convey and flag those global public interest issues. And to do so, I can probably limit myself to 3 points because I think most of the delegates who have just spoken have already mentioned the points that seem to be important to Switzerland as well. As a point of departure, we believe that we need a common set of internationally agreed standards, in particular as far as the human rights are concerned. And I think that has been mentioned by Mexico. The second point, as just earlier mentioned by the Netherlands, is an active participation. We have still a relatively selective and limited participation. I think we have to foster that. That, of course, includes putting at the disposal of smaller countries with lesser means and resources the necessary support, not only just logistical and financial support, but also substantive support to be able to deal and grasp the issues that are in stake at the bound, as we can see looking at the agenda that we have in front of us. And the third main point certainly is the efficiency and effectiveness of the actual working methods. I think Spain has already done great efforts in spurring that and in trying to be more stringent, more disciplined, also more encourage the stakeholders to be more self-disciplined when it comes to these processes. And I think we've heard a testimony of the Red Cross today. I think the case of the protection of the Red Cross also shows where the challenges lie with regard to effectiveness and efficiency. And so I think overall, I have the impression, listening to the room as well, there is a quite wide consensus and a common understanding of the challenges that we need to tackle to make the GAC deliver better in the future. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now I call on Rita Forzi, Director General in the Economic Ministry in Italy.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Madam Chair. Distinguished ministers, distinguished vice minister, colleagues of the ICANN community, I bring you greetings from the Italian Undersecretary of State, Honorable Antonello Giacomelli, who unfortunately was not able to attend the meeting due to sudden domestic institutional commitments. On behalf of the Italian government, I would like to thank the United Kingdom for the organization of such a relevant event. In a few days, the Italian presidency of the European Union will begin. Internet governance will be one of the main points in our action plan. Italian government confirms and promotes a culture of true multi-stakeholderism for the governance of Internet. Italy welcomes globalization program for a new Internet governance. We need to work together through the GAC and with other constituencies to make a multi-stakeholder and transparent internet governance happen. In particular, we need to reshape the role of the GAC within the ICANN ecosystem. The .wine and .wan issue has been a problem for the GAC. For this reason, our commitment is to avoid any recurrence of a similar situation. The new GTLD program must address the significant public policy concerns. We are not talking about commercial matters, but extreme political sensitive ones. The protection of GI serves the public interest because of the particular risks of fraudulent misuse of GIs, which the interested parties regularly witness. For this reason, we need a GAC 2.0 and new mechanism of accountability and transparency. Italy will cooperate so that a new model can be reached. Thank you.
Thank you. And now, Minister Anusha Rahman from Pakistan.
Thank you, Honourable Madam Chairperson, Honourable Ministers, ICANN President, board members, GSC members, CEOs, and other dignitaries, a very good afternoon. I'm extremely pleased to note here today that ICANN has emerged as a very prominent gathering of government officials, CEOs, and business leaders of IT and telecommunication sector, political and government leaders. And this indeed is very encouraging to see that, because one feels that this technical community and government will work together to safeguard a stable, secure, and resilient internet and domain name system. I just wanted to say a few things, very in particular to the GLTDS. The multi-stakeholder model of ICANN is important. It really helps in producing comprehensive policies regarding the internet governance. And one feels that the Governmental Advisory Committee has made significant progress in expanding the membership and capacity of the GSE participation. Pakistan became an active member of GSE, and it has given its views on the ICANN policy guidelines regarding the GTLDS. I would just like to add here three specific things that are important for a follow-up. The bidding option is something one feels that it should not be based purely on cost for resolving GTLD's string contention, ignoring the fact that, you know, it is possible that one party may be more entitled to use that string due to historical, cultural, or other reasons. So just the bidding process alone may not suffice when we are looking at this model. And in the case of community-based GTLDS, where the community is local and unique, the relevant public authorities should be involved to ensure that the applicant is bona fide to use that name in the approval process. And the third thing is that the fee structure of the new GTLDs is very high, especially fee for the new GTLD evaluation may be a bit high for financially privileged groups or low-income countries. So perhaps there needs to be a reconsideration for developing countries. And when one sees a high congregation of developing countries here participating, I think I will be shared in this input positively by some of them. And thank you very much. It's indeed a great pleasure. One last thing that, again, is important, I would want to appreciate the role of ICANN, is in the fast-track program for introducing the international domain names in non-Latin script. We have benefited from it, and I think that the local languages promotion would be fast-tracked because of this initiative. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much. And next up is Pamela Miller from Canada.
Thank you, Chair. As an overarching point, I'd like to emphasize that the current internet governance framework is sound. The multi-stakeholder institutions that collectively ensure the functioning of the domain name system have enabled continuing innovation, social development, and economic growth. Turning to the GAC, I would like to underline the progress that GAC has made looking at the overall picture. GAC's prominent new role in identifying public policy concerns related to ICANN's expansion of the domain name space demonstrated its effectiveness as a consensus-based institution. There was a collaborative and creative approach in developing safeguards. The board accepted these safeguards, and now the focus is on implementation, which the GAC is watching closely. While some issues remain, given the scope of the issues raised by the new top-level domain names, GAC's role in bringing public policy issues to bear is a considerable achievement, and I believe it has made a significant difference. Secondly, ICANN is successfully implementing continuous improvements in transparency and accountability mechanisms, as well as enhancing meaningful participation from developing countries. For example, one can look to the Registry of GAC Advice and the board responses. The GAC is evolving as an institution. It needs to gain further legitimacy without becoming overly politicized. The GAC's evolution will become increasingly important to strengthen the further globalization of the internet organizations, including ICANN. The strength of the GAC has been in its flexibility and adaptation in its advisory capacity at ICANN. From Canada's perspective, the success of ICANN will be contingent on anchoring the GAC as a consensus-based institution within ICANN, not separate or above. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And now I'd like to call on Mr. Sakamoto, Ministry of Internal Affairs and Communications in Japan.
Thank you very much. I'm Sakamoto from Japan. In dealing with internet governance, one of the most important principles is to secure the free flow of information across borders. The internet is a global space which we will face for the first time in the history. Through keeping this global space unfragmented with the collaboration of each country, it will enable us to solve the global problems, such as global warming, resource problems, etc. The Internet is involved with various stakeholders who are playing their respective roles. From this point of view, the public-private partnerships and the international cooperation are very important. It is not wise to let the government strictly regulate the Internet. The management of the security, stability, and resiliency of fundamental internet resources is essential. Concerning this management, the multi-stakeholder approach based on ICANN, which has contributed to the development of the internet, should be maintained. The Japanese government is pleased to allow NTIA's brave decision. Taking this occasion of this transition, we need to establish a multi-stakeholder governance framework toward the future of the Internet. To that end, enhancement of ICANN's accountability, including the role of government and GAC, is very important. From this point of view, I'd like to comment. First of all, the post-transition mechanism needs effectivity to maintain and evolve the stability and resiliency of the Internet, as well as its transparency and accountability. From the prospect of effectivity, recognizing the existing structure has long contributed to development and stable operation of the Internet. We should use wisdom and know-how of these existing mechanisms, and it is beneficial to respect their opinion in the considering process. From the prospect of transparency and accountability, government should play a firm role as one of the major stakeholders. On the way, we need to consider that new governance does not excessively burden mobility and flexibility on the Internet, and does not become a barrier for the Internet, which is hoped to evolve continuously. Finally, as all the functions such as stewardship and accountability have linkage with each other, the post-transition governance framework by multi-stakeholders, including the role of government and the role of GAC in ICANN, should be considered in an integrated manner. Thank you for your kind attention.
Thank you. I have just three more speakers. So Mr. Chung-Shu Chen from the Ministry of Transport and Communications.
Thank you, Chair and Vice Chair, and President, CEO, and other distinguished guests at the front desk. It's great to be here on one of the most important biennial occasions of the Internet society. I would like to put forward three viewpoints here following the topic we are discussing today. First, as we all know, the kernel value of Internet is openness. And I think it is objective to say that for the past 16 years, ICANN has made it to support and embrace this kernel value as best as it can by practicing its core principle of global stakeholder engagement. By and large, to be fair, ICANN deserves a big hand in this regard. Second, from multi-stakeholders' perspective, governments around the world surely are an important part of this contribution and cooperation ecosystem for internet development. And GAP has long been supposed to act as the bridge between government and ICANN in terms of a multi-stakeholder mechanism, to let the government play the role of environment rather than interference or dominance. GAP has done its best for this purpose, making itself synonymous with the best mediator or role model between public sector and internet community. Third, to further avail itself of the opportunity to contribute to the internet development over the issue of transfer of INET function, maybe GAP should be added by ICANN some more right to play a greater yet more appropriate role than it does now. How or in what way GAP can improve its role should be open to consider or debate for the time being. For example, maybe it's a tie to make GAP has the right to vote in ICANN Bowl in the future. That's all from me. Thank you.
Thank you. And our penultimate intervention from Igor Milashevsky from the Russian Federation.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. I'll speak Russian, please.
At the outset, allow me to share with you my opinion on the effectiveness of GAC within ICANN. I would like to thank the chair of GAC and would like to thank all those who actively participate in the work of GAC. At the same time, I would say that the role of GAC within ICANN and the role of governments within the multi-stakeholder model are not, strictly speaking, equivalent. Let me give you an example. In terms of the initiative to create PDP, policy development process, there are many other international organizations that develop policy that are often mandatory, and these are policies in terms of internet use or internet management. There are such structures within the UN, UNESCO, the ITU, within the OECD, within the Council of Europe, within the European Union, and in other organizations. The policies developed by these institutions are not directly related to the policies developed by ICANN. And I'm certain that the developing multi-stakeholder model will specify the roles of different stakeholders, including the role of the governments. In terms of the developing internet ecosystem, we need to find a place for the role of these various international organizations. They need to play a role, and we should define the realm of responsibility for governments. The role of governments is going to be significant. It will perhaps have to be able to have a veto or give binding recommendations. Thank you.
Finally, I'd call on Minister Axel Lemaire, Secretary of State for Digital in France.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I'd like to salute the gathering of that second high-level governmental meeting. It is very important, and also all the efforts that have been made to open up to government public interest, including the need to address domain names in many languages. Je vais continuer en français, si vous le permettez, pour souligner que le gouvernement français a beaucoup d'attachement.
The French government supports the multi-stakeholder model that guarantees flexibility and representation of all interests. However, it seems that with the expansion of the internet and with delegation of GTLDs, the number of problematic cases is on the rise. The Red Cross example is one of those cases. In the multi-stakeholder system, governments play an essential role because they stand up for public interest, and they are the only ones who are accountable from a democratic standpoint before their peoples. The Indian population represents several billions. Brazilians are 200 million. Governments are the ones who represent all those peoples. To consolidate the role played by these governments, respecting the multi-stakeholder model, it would be important that to have within the GAC some kind of evolution regarding the consensus rules. In Sao Paulo, the outcome document evoked this principle of rough consensus. So perhaps this idea could be explored because the consensus rule is a positive force, but it can also turn into a weakness or into a problem if a minority of states decides to oppose to a solution that otherwise would be adopted by consensus. The influence that the GAC members may have on the board at ICANN, I believe that in this regard we can make some progress when there is a commercial agreement between a private entity on the one hand and a government on the other hand, or a state-run entity. When you have this kind of arrangement, this commercial arrangement should be respected by the board. And finally, the GAC should play an essential role in identifying the most sensitive and most politically sensitive issues. GAC can also be helpful in addressing accessibility to delegation procedures for the TLDs, and in particular the cost side of these processes that sometimes is too high for the smaller states or for small companies that do not have the means to spend 350,000 euros as a minimum in order to apply for a domain name. I think it was Pakistan who said that perhaps these processes are not sufficient. Therefore, the GAC members can play a role also along these lines. Concrete solutions should be put forward at this 50th edition of the ICANN meetings. Here we have an opportunity to see which will be the board's capability to listen to the opinions of the governments, not only to advocate the interests that these governments are trying to put forward, but also especially to deal with those issues of competition that are more problematic, especially when negotiations are taking place in other international fora more reserved for international trade. GAC 2.0 has to be a well-balanced and representative GAC. Thank you.
Over time, and I did say that was the last one, but I'm prepared to take a very quick final intervention from Mr. Araste from Iran.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Thank you for giving me the floor. In fact, I raised my flag many times before the speakers, however. Thank you very much again. Madam Chairman, two things I have to mention. First of all, this meeting should not be used to make any modification whatsoever to the term of reference and the scope of IGF. It's outside the mandate of this meeting. That is the General Assembly of the United Nations, and that is by the General Assembly to make any modification to that. So this should not be used as a tribune for that. That is point number one. Point number two, the chairman of the GAC mentioned various options how the GAC should continue. That reflects her point of view only. It has not been discussed in the GAC and does not reflect the view of the GAC as such unless somebody pronounced in favor or against that. Thirdly, we have mentioned that the representation of GAC in the coordination group and in the working group relating to transition and to the accountability needs to be increased up to minimum 5 in order to respect the regional representation. Last but not least, the GAC status should be modified and GAC should not continue to be advisory chairman. It is not proper, it is inappropriate in a multi-stakeholder in equal footing that government role will be as advisory only, and that is not appropriate. Thank you.
Okay, well, we've gone over time, but I think it was worth it. Are there any quick reactions from you, Fadi or Heather? Do you want to? Okay, so clearly the GAC performs a vital role in ICANN. We've seen its membership grow, and observers from intergovernmental organisations coming in. I hope the representatives of governments present here today, which have yet to join the GAC, have gained a better understanding of its role and how it carries out its responsibilities in relation to ensuring that the public interest is fully taken into account in ICANN's bottom-up policy development processes. The GAC's not perfect, but we have heard how it's programmed to improve its working methods and enhance its communication with the rest of ICANN. The community of ICANN is now well underway, so we will see some key changes instituted by the time of the next GAC meeting during the ICANN meeting in Los Angeles. So now we'll move straight on to the fourth section, reviewing the outcomes from the Net Mundial meeting in Sao Paulo in April. We've all heard of Net Mundial. It's entered the global vocabulary of internet governance. Before the conference took place, there was, quite frankly, a lot of apprehension. Would it aim to set in train new processes, new structures? Would it lead to an increase in the role of governments in terms of oversight and control? But we found reassurance, however, that the planning and the conduct of the conference itself would be rigorously multi-stakeholder and transparent. Our government in the UK, like many others, readily contributed supporting the preparatory process and contributing our views in response to the fully open consultation stages and at the conference. We welcome the outcome, the statement of principles, and the roadmap for future work. We think they're coherent and well-focused. So time now to take these forward to the IGF in Istanbul in September and in other internet related organisations and processes, including ICANN. So to hear more about the outcomes, I now invite our colleague from Brazil, Professor Almeida, who is Secretary for Policies on Information Technology to the Ministry of Science, Technology and Innovation, to summarise the aims and outcomes of this major meeting, including the Net Mundial principles and, crucially, the roadmap for strengthening the existing multi-stakeholder processes and initiatives. Professor Almeida.
Thank you. First, I would like to thank the UK government and ICANN for hosting this session. And I will summarize here what we saw at Net Mundial and the main outcomes of the meeting. I have some slides that I would like to ask them to... Just a second. So let's. Yep. Yes, that's. I have some numbers there. That's why I'm asking for the slides to show. It's
coming up. One second.
Let's see if they work. No. Okay. All right, let me see if they manage to upload these slides. Yes.
Okay.
What's the problem?
Can you start
with other slides? Yep. Oh. Okay, here they are. So next, please. So, no, I think that they uploaded the wrong file. But anyway, let's go with this. It's ICANN, Net Mundial, London. Could you please? Okay, so when we started talking about Net Mundial, and I will present the events that led to the onset of Net Mundial, but since the beginning, we had in mind that there was a focus for the conference, and the focus was to address two blocks goals. One is to set internet governance principles in a multi-stakeholder environment, and the second one was to propose a roadmap for further evolution of the internet governance ecosystem. So next, please. So this is the chronology of events that led to the onset of Net Mundial. It started with the speech at the President Dilma at the United Nations in September 2013. And then there was the Montevideo meeting with the Internet societies. And after that, the President of ICANN, Fadi Chehadé, met the President of Brazil in Brasilia, where they proposed the idea of executing this meeting on internet governance. So later in November, President Dilma announced the multi-stakeholder internet governance meeting in Brazil. Initial discussions about the internet at the Net Mundial were held in Bali at the IGF 2013. And then a partnership between CGI, ICANN, and OneNet was done to organize Net Mundial meeting. It was in November 2013. And then the first meeting to organize Net Mundial was held in Brazil in December 2013. And the reference documents were published in April 11th, and then we had the conference in April 23rd. So these are the events that were that led to the conference in Brazil. Next, please. So that's an overview of the Net Mundial. The goal was to produce an outcome document with international and multi-stakeholder legitimacy with broad consensus. That was the goal that we pursued. We introduced a series of innovations in the preparation of Net Mundial, and I'm going to go in detail for some of these innovations. We had several multi-stakeholder committees. We worked for several months in a reference document preparation in a multi-stakeholder style. The modus operandi of the conference was modified. We had things such as separate queues for stakeholder. We searched for transparency during all the phases of the preparation of the documents and during the conference. We had open draft rooms, international hubs, and we also had one parallel popular event called Arena Net Mundial. And the goal was to make a connection between the discussions in Net Mundial with the population, the common citizen. We had some some points of tension during the preparation of the meeting. The first one was the nature and scope of the internet governance processes. Should they include non-technical questions or issues such as privacy, such as surveillance, or should it be limited to critical resources management? That was a conflict that permeated the discussions. And we also saw a conflict between two schools of thought, multi-stakeholder and multilateral styles. And NetMundial showed that we had a conference that where the two schools of thought went well together. And we had people from the two sides of this way of doing internet governance working together. So next, please. Next, please. So I'm going to skip this. That's the committees used to organize the conference. Next, please. This is an important slide. The first, it shows that we had more than 900 attendees. We had almost 200 journalists attending the meeting from, and people from 110 countries. And you can see from that PISA chart that we had all the stakeholders participating at NetMundial. Government, civil society, academia, technical community, and private sector. The other important observation is that we got a large number of contributions from the different sectors, 180 contributions to prepare the initial reference documents. And then once they were made publicly available, we got more than 1,300 comments on those documents. We had also the remote participation that I'm going to show later. Next, please. You can see here that we had more than 900 participants from 110 countries, and that shows that NetMundial was a truly global meeting. You can see that the map shows that. And also the circles presented in the picture and the size of the circles is proportional to the number of attendees from those countries. So we see that it covered most of the countries of the world. Next, please. Also, in terms of contributions, we got contribution from civil society, from academia, private sector, and that shows that NetMundial was a truly multi-stakeholder conference, where the ideas came from all the sectors or from all the stakeholders involved in the governance process. Next, please. There we have the distribution of the attendees by continent, so we cover the whole world. Next, please. And this is another interesting slide that shows we had remote hubs where people could interact with the conference in a real-time participation. And these hubs were installed in 33 places in 30 cities in 23 countries. One important observation is that there was most of the hubs were located in developing countries in different time zones. So it was interesting to see people at 3 o'clock in the morning waiting in line to interact with people in São Paulo at 10 o'clock in the morning or 12 o'clock in the morning. That showed the interest in the global discussions of internet governance. Next, please. Another innovation introduced in this meeting was the stage layout. We had the session chairs we had sessions that were assigned for each part of the document, of the reference document. Each session shares were helped by advisors that took notes of the comments and then worked on the incorporation of the comments on the final documents. We had four mics, one for each sector, for governments, the civil society, business, and technical community. And these four mics created four separate lines. And on a funny side of the meeting is that the civil society was very happy to see a lot of government officials queuing up to speak. That was something that they really enjoyed. Another funny comment on the innovations during the night sessions, the drafting in the draft rooms, people were very happy because they stayed working until 2 o'clock in the morning, having wine and food at the end of the sessions. So that helped. That created a very positive mood for the preparation of the documents. Next, please. We can skip the principles because they are in the documents that you all received. Next. We're going to also skip the roadmap. And then let's talk about a reflection on Net Mundial. What are reasons for the success of this meeting? It seems to us that the first thing was that the meeting had a focus, was to create outcome documents for principles and for roadmap. And that created a mindset that permeated the participation of the several sectors involved in the preparation of the documents. The second aspect that was really important was the full commitment and the multi-stakeholder experience of the Brazilian Internet Steering Committee. It's a multi-stakeholder committee that has been in place for almost 20 years and works very well in practices. Another aspect of this conference, it was a bottom-up and equal footing participatory process. It seems to me that two aspects were very important for the success in obtaining an outcomes approved by broad consensus. We had reference documents, so people arrived at the conference knowing what was going to be discussed. And second was the negotiation process. The conference, actually the meeting, was a combination of a long time for document preparation, plus the two days event, plus the remote participation. So the negotiation started 3 months before the conference, during the process of preparing the reference documents. So when people got there, they knew what they wanted to approve or to reject or to change. So that was a quite important aspect of the conference. The real-time participation, in particular for developing countries, was also quite important. The modus operandi of the meeting, the separate mics, the drafting session, the drafting rooms, the transparency in preparing the final document, everything was displayed on big screens so people could follow what was being changed in the documents to obtain the final document. And I think that the positive mood of the meeting, people wanted to see changes in this process of internet governance. Next, please. So, lessons learned. The first one is that during the preparation of Net Mundial, we learned that it was important to tailor the event to the multiple stakeholders' specificities. So each stakeholder has its specificities. Government has timing different from private sector. Civil society has a multiple way of looking at the different questions. So we took all of those things into consideration, and we had respect for the differences. And that's something that was quite important to obtain this this success in the conference. Second point is that an open, transparent, participatory, and multi-stakeholder preparation process pays off. So it paid off when we got more than 100 countries, almost 1,000 participants, more than almost 200 journalists. So that also is another sign of the success. Innovation is the name of the game. Several innovations were introduced in the format, in the procedures, in the way that people interact with each other, in the participation of the multiple stakeholders. That was something important. Need to improve multi-stakeholder working methods, especially in regard to the decision-making procedures. That's something that we think that we should work on in order to see how this multi-stakeholder environment decides about important questions. What are the procedures? We need to establish rules for that. We also, one thing that we have observed, we had almost 200 journalists, more than 100 from all over the world. And it was difficult to explain to them what is internet governance. Internet governance is sometimes is restricted to people that attend conferences such as ICANN, IGF, and people outside that do not see the importance of that. So one thing that we learned, it is we need to construct narratives for global internet governance. Economics of internet, free flow of information, human rights could be possible approaches to construct narratives. If we look at climate change, we have problems that are global and they have very good narratives. We don't. Next, please. What comes next? So Net Mundial principles and roadmap should feed into other internet governance process and forums like ICANN, this forum here, IGF 2014. There will be a pre-event day zero to discuss Net Mundial outcomes. ITU Plenipot in Busan, the IGF 2015, the overall review of the implementation of WISIS outcomes in 2015. Net Mundial format innovations and organizational improvements could be adapted to other IG forums. And Net Mundial multi-stakeholder principles could be used as inspiration for the establishment of national internet ecosystems. Next. So where do we take the outcomes of Net Mundial? We saw that some important discussions were left for the future. Yeah. So we can see here five of them. And I think that is up to us, all of us, the community, to construct pathways to find solutions for those important questions. To conclude, I would say that we humbly believe that Net Mundial was a success, and we hope that the Mundial football is going to be a success for Brazil too. That's what we want. Thanks.
Well, I can confirm that our Secretary of State is going to watch Brazil play football this week. He's also going to watch England. Clearly the conference was a great success, and I think we should recognise the substantial support from ISOC, from the International Society. I don't know, Cathy Brown, whether you wanted to say a word or two at this point.
Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Okay, now we have to recover some time, I'm afraid, so I am only going to take interventions from the four people I already have on my list. So first of all, I'd like to invite Neelie Kroes, Vice President of the European Commission.
Thank you very much.
You did want to speak.
Yes. Yeah, I tried to say yes. Thank you. Excuse me, Commissioner Kroes. I will just be a moment at this. The Internet Society had a wonderful part in participating in Net Mundial, and I wanted to just take one moment to say that Secretary Almeida is the prime example of why an individual person makes a difference. His dedication, persistence, patience, skill, and pure leadership in this conference leaves us today talking about it the way we do in glowing terms. The conference brought together a diverse group of stakeholders who made a conscious decision to work with each other. I think this was part of the magic here. The conference illustrated a very practical application of the multi-stakeholder process. The technical community, as was just stated, stood shoulder to shoulder with government officials, business leaders, civil society, and human rights advocates. We talked with each other. We listened to each other. We came away with a statement of principles that were embraced by the Assembly in a spirit of collaboration. As others have said, we have multiple opportunities ahead to deepen our resolve to forge agreements, norms, and mechanisms that will help us realize the benefits of a globally connected, open, and secure Internet. The upcoming Internet Governance Forum in Istanbul gives us another opportunity to collaborate. The Internet Society is working with other stakeholders to enrich the knowledge agenda by discussing and advancing best practices that are so crucial to governance in a distributed ecosystem. The critical question for all of us is not whether or if, but how diverse stakeholders can work together toward a common vision for the future. We believe there is not a one-size-fits-all multi-stakeholder model that is identical from region to region or from institution to institution. We agree with Minister Vasey, however, that the dynamic nature of the Internet does not lend itself to traditional top-down processes. Rather, the bottom-up innovation and governance that has been the engine of growth for the Internet is facilitated by a multi-stakeholder approach that share common principles of openness, inclusiveness, and transparency. I thank you for this opportunity to lend my voice in support of what I think we all experienced in Brazil. Thank you.
Well, thank you too, Kathy. So, Neelie Kroes, you're Vice President of the European Commission and EU Commissioner for the Digital Agenda.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Net Mundial was a success and is a success, and thanks for all the efforts that are done so far. It was indeed the demonstration that was just explained that the multi-stakeholder model really works and that it can produce concrete outcomes. And the result can make the multi-stakeholder model more inclusive, more transparent, and more sustainable in the long term, as well as moving us towards a clear definition of the principles that must guide global internet governance. Net Mundial puts us on the right track, but that doesn't mean, Madam Chair, that the work is over. We now have to achieve the goals that were so well outlined in Sao Paulo. To implement those concrete actions, number one, the Internet is available to everyone and belongs to everyone, and we need everyone to have their say. And that is why the multi-stakeholder model is the right one. One we should champion, but we should also defend. A model based purely on government control would be very dangerous. And second, the Internet is global, and it is right that we move IANA towards a more global base. Without putting stability and security in jeopardy, of course, we can't afford that. But this transition is an historic and a welcome step towards globalization of key Internet resources. And this transition has to follow some key criteria: inclusiveness, legitimacy, accountability, global public interest, rule of law, and separation of policy and technical functions. It has been a long time coming, and in some quarters, patience would wear thin if there is further unnecessary delay. Let us also not forget that today's internet is unified. To keep it that way, we need to keep people engaged, global governance for a global internet. And that is why we need to strengthen the Internet Governance Forum and give it financial and political sustainability. We need to make its discussions more accessible for all people in the world. We need to strengthen the links between national and regional and the global IGF, because only by doing so we can make sure the discussions at the IGF are relevant and are useful. We have to make sure the technologists and the policymakers talk more and talk better, by the way. Nowhere, as in ICANN, is it crystal clear that apparently technical discussions and decisions can have deep public policy implications. And you have to recognize the rights and responsibilities of governments to care about those issues. You can't ignore their role. You have to recognize the public interest. And the debate over Dot Wine is damaging, for example. And as I said this morning, there are other domain names that are equally sensitive in other regions and other cultures. A lack of accountability on such issues could damage the whole multi-stakeholder model on which ICANN is based. That is why it is absolutely essential that ICANN continues its efforts to become more accountable to the global community. And, Madam Chair, ICANN, whether people realize it or not, is a symbol. It is a symbol of what multi-stakeholder governance really means. Its successes and its failures will always and unavoidably be interpreted in such larger context than ICANN itself. And I have one final thing to mention today, Madam Chair, and I want to speak quite directly to those who disagreed with the results coming out of Net Mundial, either because of procedural or substantive issues. And my message is, let us not focusing on what divides us. I accept there will always be different views on how much openness is acceptable on the internet. But the internet is a global, common resource. It benefits them from its global nature. And while government's ability to apply local laws should be preserved, of course. And in conclusion, Madam Chair, therefore, let us respect our differences. Let us voice them. Let us discuss them, and let us try to find compromises. Just as Brazil did in its courageous leadership in Sao Paulo and in its willingness to move out of its comfort zone to find a compromise. As a result, Net Mundial has given us an absolute strong boost in the right direction, and it's now our responsibility to turn words into practice and realize the potential that the internet has for each and every one of us. And let's make sure it works. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So I'd like to call now on Minister Vega, Minister of Information Technologies and Communications in Colombia.
Thank you very much. And first of all, I'd like to join to congratulate Brazil, especially President Dilma Rousseff, for the leadership in Net Mundial. It was a great outcome, a great conference, also very good results for such a short discussion in just the previous weeks of the event. I think in terms of implementing what we saw in Brazil, every single country should be the example. I think we all have to work hard on strengthening our local or national internet governance ecosystems. That's key. If we want to discuss this globally, we have to fix our national ecosystem. That's an important element, so that we can learn domestically. We can improve our local operations. That's key. But also, we have to work as well on strengthening the whole internet ecosystem. As you all know, internet is a great tool to close the gaps between the haves and the have-nots, the gaps between the developed countries and the developing countries. However, in this new game of the information society, developing countries are lacking of a strong national internet ecosystems. We have to also help the developing world to strengthen the whole internet ecosystem, and I encourage especially big internet companies that are leading the development of internet to help our countries to strengthen those innovation ecosystems, to help developing countries to train people locally, to develop local applications for our local people. I think those are two main areas that we have to work on to keep moving on with what happened in Net Mundial. Thank you very much.
And now I'd like to call on Hassan Al-Haq Inu, Minister of Information from Bangladesh.
Well, thank you very much. I thought I need not talk this evening. I was talking in the morning. Thank you, Madam Chair, that after the Net Mundial outcome document, we believe that we need to have two distinct mechanisms are needed. One that looks at the global internet-related public policy issues in various social, economic, cultural, and political domains, and another that undertakes an oversight of the technical and operational functions related to internet, replacing the current unilateral oversight of ICANN and INA by US government. This will require the setting up of appropriate new global governance bodies, as well as a framework of international law to facilitate this work. These bodies, to my understanding, need to be anchored at the UN system with a very strong and institutionalized public consultative mechanism in the form of multi-stakeholder advisory groups, and also a new Internet Technical Oversight Advisory Board can be formed to oversee the technical and operational functions. We must together properly interpret Net Mundial's outcome document on multi-stakeholderism. Otherwise, there will develop a cloud of confusion. Multi-stakeholder policy participation as expanding the consultative base of public policy making is well taken. We support that. But however, claims to formal equal roles for all stakeholders in decision-making process is not truly democratic. Public policymaking is a specific kind of political function that can only be undertaken by formally constituted authorities who draw their legitimacy from the people through clearly laid out political process. So multi-stakeholder is okay in their respective roles and responsibilities as mentioned in the Net Mundial outcome document. Madam Chair, the post-Net Mundial. So naturally, these are the few things I want to mention. And besides that, the transition period, the important thing is to ensure the security and reliability of the whole transition process. So that is a challenge, that challenge would have to be taken up by us. Other things is that we need to think of the other areas. For example, we need to take care of the customers' concerns and users' concerns. That is, we need to protect intellectual property rights, then community interests, religious and ethnic groups, interests of the governments, along with the mechanism of dispute resolution. Finance is also required to be diverted to develop the market, digital literacy, ensure broadband affordability, to educate the public about delivering and promoting CCTLDs use. Above all, we need to ensure reliability, stability of the DNS during the transition. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. So we just have our last speaker, and after that, I want you to think about whether you actually want to have a break or whether you want to move straight into the last session now that Minister Vasey is back here to chair it. So you've got a couple of minutes to think about that one. So our last speaker is Hesham El Alai, the Executive President of the National Telecommunications Regulatory Authority in Egypt.
Thank you, Chair. Just wanted to highlight that Egypt commends the effort by Brazilian government and appreciate the novelty of the Net Mondial event. We believe that Net Mondial sets a precedence and a model for a bottom-up global multi-stakeholder model that is output-oriented. It also proves that inclusivity and outcome-oriented processes are not mutually exclusive. We believe that Net Mondial multi-stakeholder statement, which was agreed upon rough consensus, reflects to a great extent the consensus of the community. The statement comes as a result of broad political support provided by most attending governments, key players from the private sector, broad range of civil society representatives, as well as key figures from both technical and academic communities. Egypt has actively participated to Net Mondial values, the Net Mondial multi-stakeholder statement, and is glad to have contributed to it, even to its Arabic translation. We believe that the set of agreed principles provides an excellent common starting point and that the output roadmap comprises an agreed work plan for a common way forward. Finally, it is worth noting that Net Mondial is not an end in itself, but an important milestone, a start of a process and an effort that should be continued and built on. It is thus important to have an ambitious and clear objective for the next IGF in Istanbul. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. So that draws that excellent session to close. We have now, the next session was supposed to start at 4 o'clock. It is 4 o'clock. So the choice is either we move straight into the next session with Minister Vasey chairing it, and you can go and get a cup of coffee and just bring it back to your seat, or whether you would like a 10-minute break. So let's have a show of hands. All those who want to start straight away.
Okay.
Okay. Now, all those who want a 10-minute break.
That's consensus.
I think it's a 10-minute break. Thank you very much. Please be back here. Ed will start at 4:10.
Brilliantly.